So that we can kind of keep track of who says what when we go back to type the transcript of this, we're going to have each of you, starting with you, state your name, where you were born, and when, and so that we have that right on the beginning of the tape. So.
Okay. I'm Norma Jean, and it's G-E-N-E. Not that that matters. Young is the last name. And I was born March 26th, 1925 in Texoma, Texas.
Were you really?
And when I was 11 months old, I was smart enough to get out of that state and move to Oklahoma.
What's wrong with Texas?
Oh, well
you're an import. You're an import.
Well, I guess you get to be number two.
Betty Jane Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. And I was born August 26th, 1925, in Buffalo, Oklahoma.
Just a little bit after I was.
Right then.
Hmm?
Where
was I born?
Yeah.
Okay. Ready for you.
Okay, Elizabeth Hinderleiter, H-I-N-D-E-R-L-I-T-E-R. And I was born May the 28th, 1922. In Great Bend, Kansas.
How many years have you been?
Okay, I'm Margie. M-A-R-G-I-E. Moore. And I was born April 4th, 1925, in Great Bend, Kansas.
When did the two of you and your family move to Oklahoma?
1929.
Okay. Well, this is going to be, I don't think this is going to be a problem. Real casual, informal, just conversation. Sometimes that's a problem in the groups, but I don't think it's going to be one this morning. What we'll start with is just have you describe just a typical day, like when you got up in the morning, what did you have to do, what kind of chores, in the 1930s Dust Bowl time period. So any just average day, any time during that time, anybody who wants to can start. So.
The first thing, family did. Mother finally got me out of bed, but every morning she cleaned house. Not too much, you know, just dusted and shook the dirt out of the curtains and that sort of thing, and took, if she had hung up wet sheets over the windows, well, she took those down and shook them out, and we went on from there. But I remember that every day.
What kind of daily chores did you have in your house?
I didn't do a darn thing.
Well, that's all right.
I had to practice the piano 2 hours a day sometime. But
lots of musical families
yeah,
to talk to you
yeah.
in this area.
That's right.
How about you? What was your typical day like?
Practically the same. Eat breakfast, go to school. But I did have one chore, and I had a little paintbrush and a dustpan, and when the dirt did blow off the hearth, that's how I dusted out the windows.
That's right. I'd
the little paintbrush
that.
And let it. And you could hold that dustpan right up against it, you know. And and to this day, I have a paintbrush and a dust.
Do you really?
Yes, I so do. Yeah. And when I dust mop the floor.
Yeah.
Would the two of you say that you grew up in a rural area or an urban area?
Well, it's Boy City. We call it urban or rural.
You would be probably, well, were you on a farm or in town?
In town.
All of us.
All four of you? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Were you guys dusting window seals with paintbrushes?
Well, I don't remember. Do you? I probably didn't do any more than that.
Yeah, me too. Well, I remember at school when we'd get there, everything would be clean when we went in. I guess the teacher dusted off the desks. But several times a day, we'd first, you know, write our names on the desk. And
right on your desk.
Mm-hmm. But you would just completely wipe the dirt off of the desk maybe 4 to 6 times a day. because it would just get filthy.
Those get gritty.
Huge, high windows. We were on the west after, yeah, we were on the west side of the old red brick school building. Mm-hmm. And, boy, that dirt had come in those darn windows.
Were you guys ever in the old rock building?
Uh-uh.
I remember one day when the storm came after we'd gone to school. And, of course, they didn't have lunch programs in those days. Neither did they have lunch meat. Not too much of it. Bologna. That was about the only lunch meat I remember.
True.
But anyway, it was so bad that Mother fixed lunch and had my father, I called him Uncle John. He was they adopted him. Bring the lunch to school, and she didn't have very much, you know, what to put in it. We kept peanut butter on hand. Of course, Mother made her own jelly. But we always had plenty of eggs. So there were egg sandwiches and peanut butter, and enough that if anybody else wanted any, I can remember it was a big sack.
So your mother would pack enough food for you to take to school to share if you needed to?
Not generally, but the storm hit after I was in school and we couldn't get home for lunch. No school lunch programs.
Yeah.
And
they didn't let school out for anything.
No.
I don't.
I walked home.
About how far were your homes from the school?
Well, ours was on about 2 blocks.
Yeah.
2 blocks. We were real close.
Well, my house was a mile.
Now,
just exactly
early,
a mile.
Early, but later we were about, 10 blocks?
Yeah, 10 blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have the dust storms.
Well, yeah,
so
we had
bad. They were
I remember bad. Walking backwards to home against the dust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be in your face.
But Betty used to talk about they didn't have school lunches, but there was one time in there that they did have in the old rock building.
Oh, really?
Oh, I'll be darned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I got to help serve it, so I knew. And they for all the children in the country. And the government sent out this canned meat and stuff like that, and we served that.
Huh.
And had bread and things.
About when was that, do you know?
Well, it probably was about 34 or something in there.
Well,
there might have been
that building was down by that time, though. That old
was
rock
it?
Building.
Yeah. Put the new one up in 35, didn't there? 36. Because I was a freshman in high school.
Yeah,
when we
the
moved
new
in.
High school they did. Yeah.
No, I don't think. Well, it must have been 33 then. Because anyway, I know we had school lunches.
Yeah.
For the people in the country.
Well, I was thinking maybe in when the Depression was so bad in the cities in 29 and 30. Could that have been when they started? The government was
sending
food.
I was a little older than that. I was probably 10 years older.
So. Yeah. Well,
were there any other kinds of like community, like your lunch program that you're talking about that were like to supply things to
for the needy?
Yeah, anything like that in Boise City?
Well, the church has certainly figured in. That would be the only organization I can think of that really went out and provided. And
we didn't have a welfare program.
No. But I'd say the churches and just by word of mouth, because if you knew someone that was in need, as small a community as ours is, we would know about it. People would begin to do things and just bring food in.
Go ahead.
Well, this is completely off that subject, but I just happened to think about it. Don't know what year. Maybe y'all remember. During a dirt storm, of course, a woman across the street from the Methodist Church looked out, and on the top of the steps, big, long steps, there was a kind of a big cardboard box sitting there, and she wondered about it, but she didn't do anything about it. And the second day it was there.
Was it that long?
Yeah. It was there all night. The janitor of the church came out, and he saw that box there and looked in, and there was a newborn baby in it.
Oh.
and it was alive. And wrapped in
swaddling clothes.
Yeah, that's true. And because she hadn't gone over there and looked in that box, you know. But nobody ever knew whose baby it was.
What happened to the baby? Did she take it?
Yes. They, some people on, down in Oklahoma, the preacher at that time, Brother Heaton, I believe, they wanted it, but they were older people, and their kids were grown, and so they let somebody down in Oklahoma have it.
Well, it must have been fairly warm that night.
I guess it was. I don't remember.
I don't remember what
it was. It was just an old blanket around it, and nothing to identify.
That's crazy.
Of course, no hospital.
Oh, yeah.
We had a doctor, old Dr. Hall.
Yeah, and they got the doctor to look at the baby.
Sure. And old Dr. Hall was here until he died and drove a funny little old car. And people looked out for him in the car because you never knew where he was going to drive. Probably alongside of this road. Yes. And the museum here will have, I think, the bag of the old Dr. Hall.
Yeah.
Oh.
His grandson brought it to us.
You already have it now?
Yeah.
That's great.
Wow. That's a great story.
And this old man, I was kind of scared of him. He was a cross between an ogre and Santa Claus. He had a white beard down to about here. And he wasn't too friendly. He was a real old man by
yes,
that time.
Yes, he was.
And probably. And two, before he died or before he left here or whatever, his grandson was driving him around. Harry
oh, really?
Jr., yeah, was driving him in that little old Ford coupe. Here they'd go.
Hmm. Do you ever the doctor come to visit you at your house or anyone
yes.
else in your family?
Yes,
they always did.
They always did.
Oh, yeah.
They always came to the house.
We had one live just couple houses down from us, remember? Dr. Holler.
Oh.
Who, Dr. Hall?
Holler.
Oh,
Holler.
Whoa.
Well, Carl Holler was
Carl.
In our...
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I saw
from
him.
Lately.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. He sent some stuff for the museum.
Oh, great.
Some Sunday school stuff.
Well, Phyllis was telling us that you all kind of went to school together, and I was just kind of wondering what kind of school activities were you involved in, or what did you do for fun and entertainment when you...
She's a basketball star.
They didn't have money particularly. Well, they didn't have money for a music program, period. And one of our homeroom teachers, Mrs. Porter, loved music. She had snappy black eyes, and she ruled.
Yeah, right.
But she started a band.
Well, let's see, didn't Goodfellow start that before Betty?
May have, and it was...
In high school?
No. I was in fifth grade.
Oh, were you?
Yeah,
well,
when
I was
started
in grade
that.
School.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you play in Miss Porter's band?
I did.
Margie?
I don't think so.
I did.
I wasn't too clear
through high school.
When did you start the French horn?
Oh, about eighth grade.
Did you play an instrument? Everybody play an instrument too? French horn
clarinet.
Over here on the end. Clarinet. How about you?
Saxophone.
Baritone.
Wow. Well, you have a whole band right here.
Yeah.
All and I had to do was go paw, paw.
Yeah, I went oomp. Oomp, paw, paw. Oomp, paw, paw.
I carried the melody.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I couldn't carry a tune.
But we had two fellas. One of them was in our class. The other one was older. Their parents played for dances.
Oh, yeah.
My. Yeah.
And those guys, I don't know if they ever had any kind of training. But they could play anything.
Mm-hmm.
And these two boys played with their mom and dad. That family made up the music for
yeah.
dances.
Mother and dad and two older sisters and then the two younger brothers. And they played everywhere.
What did Mr. Miley play? What did Mr. Miley play?
They would play every Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never... My
did he play
didn't let me
fiddle?
Go to the dances.
Well, my Bob folks wouldn't either, but I go look in.
Fiddle. I was going to say fiddle.
I think he did,
Betty.
I think he played the fiddle. And Mrs.
Yeah,
Smiley
played
the
yeah.
piano.
Yeah,
I remember that.
And the two boys played saxophones. Elvin played a little one.
Yeah, a little alto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sometimes Burl played a drum.
Yeah, that's true, he did.
What was her name? Miley?
Yeah, M-I-L-E-Y.
And
they were
part of that family lived here until just last year.
Yeah. They were a farm family. And boys...
Well, that probably helped survive that
music. Right. Yeah.
But those two boys in the school band added an awful lot because the rest of us didn't know anything. And those boys had experience. Elvin still comes back, the one that was in our class.
Yeah.
And we see him at least once a year.
Yeah.
But the rest of the family's gone.
Are both girls gone?
Well, they're on and off. The family broke up after the father died because there was a fight about the farm.
Yeah. One of the girls is still alive.
Wynema.
Yeah.
What kind of, do you remember the songs? What kind of songs did you play in your band? What kind of music?
You, one of the tunes in Miss Porter's band was the Bunny Parade.
Oh. I remember that.
Oh, I'll never forget. Oh, that was so insulting. Here we were at least, 10 years old and playing about bunnies.
Yeah. I bet you played it then.
Anyway, there was not a class for this. It was just those who were interested.
Those whose parents made them go.
Yeah.
We came and about an hour early to school in the morning.
I think so, yeah.
And Norma Jean's father was musical, of course, and was connected with music for years. And I think he was the one who found that E-flat alto saxophone for me from Mr. Cornwall at Clayton.
Yeah. Well, and Daddy had several instruments that had been with the county band earlier.
Maybe I played one of those. I don't
know. Well, could be. I don't remember.
But anyway, that's how I got my horn.
Yeah.
You guys still play? Every once in a while?
I play records. I can't even play piano.
They still sing.
No, I don't. I croak. She sings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't
I never did sing. Get to sing.
I don't even sing.
Because that teacher told me just keep my mouth shut and don't say a word. She didn't think I could sing.
What teacher was that?
Mrs.
Miles.
Godley.
Mrs. Godley.
Is that right?
Yeah, when we were in the high school in the choir at the church, she says, Marge, just open your mouth, but don't say a word.
She was a something else.
So,
nuts.
Every time I go to church, I feel real bad about singing.
We couldn't say any worse the rest of us.
Well, so you all lived in town.
Yes.
What kinds of things were going on in town and people dealing with dust storms and stuff in town? We've heard a lot of people talk about living in the country and the different things you would have to do at the farm, get the animals in, and stuff like that. What were you doing in town?
Mostly playing.
One celebration I remember, it was May Day. May Fate, they called it. We had in the old gym down there, they were going to have a maypole. And,
yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
I think there were two poles in,
the, in
gym,
the gym,
on the gym floor. Mm-hmm. And a dirt storm came up before. I mean, it had blown all day, I guess, but it just kept getting worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting in the audience. And here were the maypoles down, I don't know, about 50 feet away, I guess. And the girls were circling, and these were big girls. I didn't get to be in it.
I did.
Dadgummit. And anyway, they were doing a good job, but we could barely see them. The dirt got so thick in there. And everybody was used to it. We just sat there through it, you know.
We did have a picture show.
Yeah,
and Mr. Phillips ran it.
Yes,
and we had a maybe it was the worst dust storm hit Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that was the April 14th, 1935.
All right, and I was at the picture show, and I can remember they didn't quit; they just kept running it, and finally,
just to keep people there.
Yeah, to keep everybody there, and finally, Mr. Montgomery, who. Was in the bank with my father, just lived right behind the picture show, And he came in, and he had two kids there, and he got me. I believe the telephone never did go out, because my folks had called him to take me to their house, and that was great, you know. And we all held hands, and we just had to go not even hardly half a block.
Yeah.
But my older brother was there that day, and he headed for home. And the only way he made it to our house, which was many blocks from the pit, he crawled in the gutter. Well, it wasn't curb and gutter then. He crawled in the ditch.
And he could tell where he was by, you know, when he'd a street and cross, what he could tell. And
how far he'd gone. But that's how he got home that day. Do y'all remember what you were doing that day?
I do. Do you remember? I remember we decided we had a farm out east. And
yeah, Dad, I remember that.
Yeah, Dad decided that he wanted to go out and see. I think it was wheat, probably, April.
Yeah.
And so
beautiful
we were out
day.
Here.
Yeah, beautiful
it was.
Day.
It was just beautiful. Perfect. So we was out there on the lake, about that old lake out there, and we could see that rolling in. So he just turned around right there, and we came back home and stayed in the house till
but
it was
you got
over.
Home before it hit.
Yeah, we got home before it hit.
Well, at my house, we had company that day from another town, and Woods and Wadley's, you know, from Carrick and various ones, and my granddad and an employee of my dad's. And the fella, it was such a beautiful day, all the men decided they'd go out to the airport and fly around. So they did. Airport was west then.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember the airport out there.
Yeah, it was it was on French's Lane, just beyond the railroad track.
Oh,
right,
okay.
To the left-hand side of the road.
Okay.
And Ben
very
had a hangar out there.
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
that
so
kind of
they were out there. There were, six or seven men. I don't remember how many. And that darn storm hit, and it rolled in, and it was, I know people have talked about this. It was so black. You could not see your hand right in front of your face. It was awful.
That's why Halleck had to crawl.
Yeah, sure. He couldn't see
He couldn't see
any
the ground.
Distance. And we didn't know whether the guys had seen that thing coming.
If they were in the air?
Or whether it hit while they were in the air. Oh, gosh. But they didn't get in. Now, this was just barely west of town,
just
a mile,
railroad,
I'd say. And they didn't get home till 9 o'clock that night.
Mm-hmm.
But they had landed when they saw it coming, got inside the hangar, and some of them got in inside the cabin plane.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally got home. One of them was hanging his head out trying to see the ditch, you know, and say, go to the right or left. Oh, boy. I was glad to see those guys when they got in. But now, the three of us were just 10 years old at that time.
Yeah, that's it.
So we weren't, or I'll speak only for myself, I wasn't smart enough to be really, really scared when that thing was coming.
I wasn't either.
Some
and it
people
wasn't
thought
the first
no, it was the end of the world.
Uh-huh.
And for a few minutes there, I guess they really thought it was.
Well, it sort of boiled.
Oh,
yeah. It did. It just rolled in.
Gosh.
As it rolled, it just looked like water. You know when water boils?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is it? A tempest in the teapot?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it, you know. That was frightening. But I have no feelings of fear at that time.
Well, I didn't.
No,
I don't think we had any of us ever.
Everybody was in the same boat, and
and just thought it was part of it.
Sure, it had happened practically every day for most of our lives.
Never had it been quite that bad, but
yeah.
What about your parents? Do you remember your parents being frightened at all, worried about this? You were at the movies, so they were probably worried about you because you were home.
But no, I don't remember. They weren't. We was all together in this.
And they just thought it was part of.
Just put sheets over the window.
In fact, during that time, I have no feelings other than love and security.
Yeah.
And I think we all were that way in our homes.
Yeah. Why do you think that was? Do you think it was just the time, or?
I think
all of our mothers and fathers knew that they were doing the best they could.
Well,
where else would we go? My family couldn't see an advantage of going to California. I'm sure yours mm-hmm. couldn't either.
Heck no.
Our roots were all
here. Y'all, that's it. You all had ties here and stuff.
Yeah, well, all of our dads had jobs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
John was in the bank.
Yeah, okay.
And your it dad had farmland.
He was a mechanic at the Ford garage.
And
my uncle
job.
Ran that garage at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, my dad had the newspaper here. So everybody was, we weren't hungry.
No.
We weren't having any problems.
Not really.
Nobody worried about
However, we
clothes
did,
or anything
I do like that. Remember this, and I think perhaps it stayed with me. We did live very frugal. You know, we ate pretty common food.
Yeah, we did.
Which would be what? What would you consider common food?
Well, of course, being this part of the country, we always had beef. Always had eggs and cream that we bought from people that came in from the country. Our grocery store at that time, we could call the grocery store, and they delivered. Mother mm-hmm. decided she'd have something for lunch, and she'd call, and
June Burke could bring it.
Yeah, they'd bring it, and Mother didn't work. She was just at home, but that was part of the service.
It might have been like the rest of us, just had one car, and the
yes,
your uncle sure. had the car.
Yeah,
yeah, right. I can't remember any fear at that time. We used to have home demonstration agents. What are the men called that were that? County agents
County
were
agent.
The men.
Yeah.
But they had a woman who was a home demonstration agent, and she's the one who organized all of the clubs for the farm women. And our next door neighbor was the home demonstration agent, and she was a widow, had two sons, and her mother kept house.
Weren't in the county band, were you, when Daddy organized it again? When I think I was about a freshman in high school then. But that was one thing we did. You weren't in it, were you?
Hmm.
I guess I was the only kid in it because my
Probably
daddy made me
your daddy.
Do it. But we'd meet every Monday night in the courthouse, in the courtroom. And, gosh, people had come from Keys and, you know, Harry Wilkinson.
Yeah, we had it outside when the weather was nice. Remember?
Yeah, and we'd get concerts outside mm-hmm. a lot when it was decent. But there were people from all over the county would come. And it was a brass band, you know, mm-hmm. just like the old-time gay 90s Sousa marches and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. And it was fun.
In a way, it seems to me that this generation has so little time. And I never remember growing up being pressed for time. There mm-hmm. was always time to do everything.
Yeah, that's true.
And I guess we made our own entertainment.
Well,
roller skating on the sidewalk around
the
square.
Courthouse.
We did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We
oh,
did that
gosh.
Every night that it was decent. Well,
yeah.
A bunch of us would go
yeah.
out.
That was more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fun. That's what I was going to say, that.
Yeah,
roller
that was
skating.
One.
That was a
Good
great.
Deal.
Yeah, it was.
Played baseball.
Yeah, and I was supposed to take piano lessons. My mother was a great sewer. She could just sew anything. And so she sewed for this lady that gave piano lessons so we could have piano lessons. And I was supposed to practice, and when Mother would go to town to get groceries, I'd go outside and play baseball.
Anyway, I was at Margie's house one afternoon, and the piano teacher was to come. She also taught in the school.
Oh, Ms. Esme?
And somebody knocked at the door, and Margie yelled out, "Come in if your nose is clean." And there was, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We just knew she'd take it out on us at school.
That's what happened.
She came in all right.
She was kind of grouchy.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, she was,
oh,
yes.
Yeah.
She was always grouchy.
She didn't scare me because she
me
and Daddy,
I liked her real well.
They played together, you know.
She scared the tar out of me.
And I was used to being around her.
When you're getting that right.
Yeah, when you're taking piano lessons, she'd scare you.
I wonder what made me say that.
Ah, gee.
You must have thought it was going to be somebody else.
Yeah. That was Norma Jean.
Yeah, right. Probably. Because she'd say that, but Margie was sweet. So, most of the time.
Except this.
Yeah, except this.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned earlier one of the treats that you had was popcorn balls. What other kind of like snacks would be like really special treats?
We didn't buy them in the grocery store. We made homemade fudge.
We made homemade ice cream.
And homemade ice cream.
I got to sit on it while somebody
turned the crack.
Yeah, and cookies. Mother made a lot of cookies.
Oh, yeah, your mother was a good cook.
Yeah.
Hmm. I bet your mother baked bread,
and her
too,
favorite
didn't
thing. No, she never did
she
bake
didn't
bread.
Make bread.
But her favorite thing to make was stew back then. You remember that? Well, there was always meat, though.
Yeah.
Well, at the news office, people who had gardens, and most of them who lived in the country did have gardens, and they'd bring in vegetables or sometimes a chicken to exchange for subscription to the paper for a year. we had
And the chicken tasted different.
Oh, sure.
The chickens we ate had free range.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just a different flavor.
They were killed fresh. Fresh.
Like you would kill a chicken in the morning and fry it up for lunch.
Yeah.
It didn't sit someplace for a long time.
Yeah, frozen two or three times.
We had a garden behind the house.
Did you? I'd forgotten that. Mm-hmm.
When Mother wasn't looking, we'd go out and pick something we wanted and eat it.
Yes. Cordy and Lester had a garden, and she'll tell you, I'm telling the truth, I do not like tomatoes. But Dale and I would go out in that garden, and Cordy would say, don't bother those tomatoes, they're ripe. So the first thing we'd do is pick a tomatoes and sit there and eat them.
He didn't even like them, huh?
No, I didn't like them. His mother said not to, so we had to do it.
Had to try it.
What else was in your garden? Did you have tomatoes?
Oh, we had radishes and onions.
I remember onions.
Mm-hmm. Did you corn? Fix
no,
no,
we
no,
didn't,
didn't
have corn.
Corn.
Mm-hmm. Squash? Mm-hmm. Lettuce?
Yeah,
yeah, we had
lettuce.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember having spinach in it. Mostly
carrots?
Just
carrots and onions.
Did they ever, did you ever put things in a cellar, you know, to keep? Now, my grandmother on the ranch did. Especially carrots and parsnips and turnips. They'll keep a long time if they're in a fairly damp, cool place. And she put stuff in the cellar.
One thing we used to do, we weren't supposed to do this. Your dad had wheat stored in your garage out there, and we'd get out there and play in that wheat. You know, deep. Oh, you could sink clear down.
Yeah, it was kind of dangerous to do.
Well, I'm sure it was. And your mother would have skinned both of us if she'd have seen us out there, I suppose. And one time, you took an umbrella and jumped off the garage.
Well, I thought it was a parachute.
Yeah, I know you did. So that's the sort of things we did.
It's a wonder you're all here.
Yeah, right.
And paper dolls. We had a lot of paper
dolls. Oh, right. Yes, paper dolls.
Yeah, yeah.
And made clothes out of construction paper.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And that was fun.
And they were used to have, she and her friends would have, like they were in the movies, you know, and they'd have plays and stuff.
Out in the garage.
In the garage.
Dress up.
I was in one once. I remember being on a witness stand.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Mother, and your mothers probably did too, would let us have some old dresses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dress up.
Yeah, dress up.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And if we could get some high heels and and a hat.
Yeah, I gotta have a hat.
What, would you pretend you were movie stars? Or
Yeah.
Yeah, because we'd been picture shows, so we knew. Mm-hmm.
Gene Harlow was a favorite.
Oh, yeah.
And the way I got to go to the picture show, we didn't have any money, but I ushered so I could get to see the show.
So was that your pay for ushering that you got to stay with movies? Mm-hmm.
My husband lived out in the country, but his folks felt like that picture shows, they were very staunch religious people, but also believed in good education. Mr. Garrett had studied to be a Baptist minister, but he was very poor at raising money, and he was advised at the school he'd make a poor minister. So
oh,
he taught school.
Yeah.
But they thought most movies were educational, and they'd see that the boys, if they did their chores.
I'm glad they're not alive now.
Yeah.
But they'd get to go to the movie. Well, they went one afternoon, and they had 10 cents left over. And Johnny and Miller, after the movie, walked to the drugstore. And, of course, Johnny knew that meant an ice cream cone for both of them. And there was some guy with wanting money, a tramp wanting
oh,
money.
Oh, Lord.
And Miller gave that guy the 10 cents.
Gee.
And Johnny said, I nearly cried all the way home. And they lived several miles in the country. That's speaking of tramps, I remember many times fellas would come to the back door. Mm-hmm. But there was no fear of it. I never remember being afraid of these people.
Mm-mm.
They'd come to the back door and the man would say, do you have some work I could do for a meal? And Mother never turned him down. Mm-hmm. Now, it might not be at mealtime. And if it wasn't, why, she'd fix bacon and eggs and pork and beans.
Yeah, or a sandwich.
Or a sandwich.
Yeah,
they never left
yeah.
without something to eat. But they always did something, too.
Yeah, what kind of things did she have them do?
Trim a tree, rake in the yard.
Yeah, pick up trash around.
Pick up the trash. Our garage never held the car, it just held stuff. And so lots of times, and we had a basement in our house, and lots of times stuff in the basement, she'd have them carry, and things that would be too hard for Mother to do, and my dad did nothing around the house. So really, she probably was tickled for some of them to come by.
Yeah.
Do the others of you have memories of tramps or hobo-type people?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we lived kind of on the north edge of town, and just a block from the highway, and we had a lot of them.
And we didn't have too many down where we were.
But we never had any fear from those people. It wasn't like today.
But and gypsies, they were just a curiosity.
Oh yeah,
nobody ever thought anything about them.
Well, tell me more about the gypsies. I've heard lots of people talking about being out here. I think that sounds so crazy when you think of them being in Panhandle, Oklahoma. But
they did. They just came through, and they would mill around town and all. But
and the women all wore long dresses.
Long dresses. Everybody was real.
And the men, now, they didn't dress too differently. I think a scarf around the neck maybe or something. But and
they must have just gone from town to town.
They were
Hungarian,
didn't they?
I think so.
How did they travel? We've heard some different
wagons,
different versions.
Old cars.
Old
trucks.
My brother had a car, a Mormon 16-cylinder car, and they'd found it in a garage in Campo. It had been driven very little, and so he and a bunch of his buddies got the car and got it to running. And it had little jump seats between the front seat and the back seat. We went to a swimming party. He took, about 10
really
of us?
We really thought we were living in that thing.
10 of us, he drove us to the swimming pool.
Yeah.
Now, he was 8-9 years older than me. And this car took many people to dances up at Cleason City in Colorado.
Yeah.
Well, it only made about 3 to 4 miles a gallon. And they carried a gas tank. The fenders came out on the car and had lights, and then it dipped down like this and had a space here, and they carried a gas tank in the middle of the lights there because they had not too many filling stations, and they had to fill her up.
So how far are they driving to go to this dance in Colorado?
What do you think, 50 miles?
Well, I've forgotten where. I never could go. We couldn't go.
I couldn't go, but I heard about it.
Wasn't it east of Campo?
Walsh?
Well, maybe Walsh. Well,
I think it was kind up in the Walsh area.
Ways,
it was probably, 40 miles?
I was going to say 50, 40
well,
or 50 miles.
Something like that.
Oh, it was a big deal.
Well, a deal we went.
Yes, I know.
He was my uncle who lived with us some. And all the guys, they
oh, yes.
went to Gleason City every time you turned around.
Well, did you any of you know people who did leave to California?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right on, man.
The Lewises and the Kellys.
That's right.
And what about Donald Cox?
They the moved Coxes. To Texoma. They didn't.
Oh, no.
Donald Cox. I was
yeah.
thinking of Donald Sayre. Yeah. They went to Washington.
And there were several down around Plainview, weren't they?
Could have been.
What about a...
Nothing else.
Where did Hollers go from here?
I have no idea.
I don't know. The doctor didn't live too long after they left here.
No.
And then Miss Holler died.
But I saw Carl Holler. He was visiting the Scully twins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In New Mexico.
Yeah.
These but, people that left, did they have contact back so that people knew what was going on with
what
them?
What happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, in most yeah. cases, I suppose.
I don't remember seeing people like the Grapes of Wrath.
Oh, no.
I mean, you know, the story of Grapes of Wrath. Do you?
I never, in those days, I never saw an old car with a bunch of mattresses on the top, and that's what you think of
when
Grapes of Wrath. And we were ready to kill John Steinbeck, incidentally, after that book was written.
Well, that was back in eastern Oklahoma, wasn't it?
Well, you bet it was.
It really was.
The southeast part of the state.
Here in the good old panhandle, it was.
So would you say that the Dust Bowl times could be called the good old days then?
Oh,
well, as far as we were concerned, now I don't know about the grown-ups then.
Certainly comforting memories of the Dust Bowl days.
Yeah.
Because as you can tell from all four of us, there was love and security. I don't think we wanted for anything.
No, we didn't.
And there wasn't this violence that you see.
That's
there.
True.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And you said something about Margie's mother sewing for other people. Well, my mother didn't sew for other people, but she sewed for the family all the time.
Yes.
And so we had plenty of clothes and plenty of food somehow. So, no big problem.
Everybody had about the same. So
yeah.
Mother would hang a quarter of beef in the garage in the wintertime, and we'd go out and cut off meat to cook for supper.
Yeah.
I believe our winters are milder than they used to be. Because I think we went through periods, months of just continuous freezing temperatures. Or else, well, to begin with, we had ice boxes. We didn't have refrigerators. And the ice man came by every day. Did you folks have one?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we got a chunk of ice every day. That's how we kept our milk and our eggs and butter. But we wouldn't have been able to hang a quarter of beef in the garage.
Not now.
That's true.
They wouldn't keep.
Then we have some chickens. I don't remember whether we did down there or not. Dad did later. I don't know whether maybe we did.
We had pets.
We had a cow, I remember.
What kind of pets did you have?
I had a cat.
No, we had dogs.
And then the boys in the family all had dogs.
Do you remember any unusual pets? I've heard some stories of having pet prairie dogs and a pet coyote.
Oh, God. No, we didn't. No. Just a dog and a cat.
My mother was pretty tolerant, but I don't believe she would have put up with a coyote.
They did hunt, though.
The guys, you mean? Daddy hunted a lot.
Yeah, and remember those rabbit drives they had where they...
You know, my dad never did go on those rabbit drives.
I remember those. Dad used to go.
Did your
Did they club them?
Mm-hmm. Were you there, saw the rabbit drive? What did you think about that kind of thing?
Not much. That
didn't bother you?
No, it didn't bother.
Well, lots of country people ate rabbits. I can't remember that we did.
At
did
one
you
time
ever rabbit?
No, Mother wouldn't have rabbit in the house. She thought they were, you know, just not clean.
Yeah, we didn't eat
diseased.
Rabbit either.
But they had cookbooks, the home demonstration clubs, that they passed out, and they had rabbit chili and rabbit stew and all those things in that cookbook.
Yeah, well, so they must people in the country
probably. Of course, you hear more of Australia and the rabbits taking over. And I guess...
Well, they were pretty bad then.
They were bad here.
Yeah.
What about bed bugs? Did you guys ever have any experiences with bed bugs?
Yes.
We did.
The first night we moved down here, we all put beds up.
What a welcome.
Wasn't it the next morning we woke up and you were just covered with these little old bugs. We didn't even know where they
were. Oh, goodness.
What do they look like? I don't even know.
They're just a little old. I don't know. They're not very
size
big.
Size of a flea, were they, or bigger?
No, a little bigger than a flea. I was trying to think. Can't think of anything right now.
Kind
of round, aren't
they? Yeah, kind of round. And I know it just took Mother forever to get that cleaned out, because you didn't have all these insecticides and things you do now.
What did she use to try to get rid
of it? Kerosene.
Yeah.
Oh, my mother washed one of her brother's heads in kerosene because he came home with lice. It's a wonder she just didn't burn him up. But she got rid of the lice.
Yeah. Gee. Marietta Foreman told the worst story about bed bugs I ever saw out there. It fell someplace. I don't remember the details, but it must have been awful to get rid of those things.
It was. It was terrible.
Just
put your bedding out every day.
And let it set the sun.
Yeah.
Fresh air.
It might have been Mrs. Foreman, we talked to her, that was telling me about they would put skunk oil on their bottom of their feet to prevent colds.
Oh.
Does that sound familiar to anybody?
Never heard of it.
Garlic around your neck.
Well, yeah, I've heard that.
Skunks.
But my grandmother fixed cough syrup with, she'd slice onions and put sugar over it, and it would make a juice, and that's... I don't know if I quit coughing because it tasted so
awful. Take it anymore, probably.
But that's what she used
that
for.
That sounds awful.
We had Dr. Drake's.
At some point, you know, it tastes so horrible, and after it goes down even, then you're afraid to cough.
Well, yes, fear.
Yeah, so.
Well, and I know little babies that had problems with diaper rash and stuff, you'd take flour and scorch it in the frying pan on the stove and use that for powder. It's supposed to have healing.
I never heard of that. I'll be darned.
You mentioned Dr. Dregs, is that right?
Drake.
What is that?
Well, it's a cough syrup.
Okay.
It was
alcohol, kinda, probably.
Well,
and
it could have been, but it was kind of, it was nasty. It really was.
Yeah.
And if Mother would get a bottle of that, you'd quit coughing right quick.
Did she buy it here in town?
Mm-hmm. At the drugstore.
Oh, man. Well, hopefully a little happier. What was Christmas time like? Do you remember any vivid Christmas memories as a kid?
Well, we usually went to our grandmother's for Christmas. Yeah, didn't we? Mm-hmm. In fact, we always up in Kansas.
I remember the Christmas I got my bicycle. The folks put it behind a chair and draped coats over it.
Oh.
I didn't find it for a long time. Oh, and then we loved to ride our bicycles, and we'd meet sometimes at the courthouse and ride out to the overpass.
Yeah, that was the only hill around.
Yeah.
So we'd go to the overpass.
Yeah, don't you remember riding?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I remember when Mother used to hide those dolls in that. They had a big old wardrobe, and it had a rim around it about that deep, and she'd stick them up there. Of course, we'd check it out right quick.
We knew where it was.
Year after year, she did that.
Well, Christmas was always big at our house. I was the only child, but my mother's younger brother and younger sister, their mother died. So they were in
they
and
lived
out
with you a good
part
deal
of the time.
Time.
Yeah, and my grandfather, too. And then all a bunch of other relatives would always come in. It was a big deal. Christmas was great. Always had a tree. Always.
Yeah.
And they were fresh trees. They weren't these artificial.
That's right. Have you been out to the Kenton area?
We just went yesterday. That's
where we got our trees.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Out in that part of the country. Yes.
Huh. Mm-hmm. What kind of things did you use for ornaments? You make your own ornaments?
Yeah.
My mom always talks about stringing popcorn and berries.
Yeah.
My mother had some old ornaments, and it was great to get them out every year.
Yeah. Well, they used to, now, when I was 6 years old, we went to Lubbock one time, and my grandparents lived down there at that time. And, boy, the newest thing that year was lights, but in different shapes. And there was one of Orphan Annie and Sandy, different ones. And then we had one that was a cross.
Yeah.
And I can't think of others, but I hung on to those darn things after they burned out. I hung on to them for years because I just hated to let them go. But they didn't make those
things. And if one light went out, all your string of lights went out. You know, they had no double wires. Then you had to go through all of the bulbs to find out which one was burned out.
Yeah. Oh, mercy.
Was there a community type celebration at Christmas, like
well, the school always had a program,
and
the churches always had a program. I can't remember that the community as a community, particularly.
But we started getting Santa Claus down from the North Pole
to hand out sacks of candy. You always got an orange and candy. Came in on a Saturday, usually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They flew him into the airport.
Saturday was a big day. That's when all the farmers came to town.
Yeah. Saturday was the day.
My mother tells that they got oranges sometimes for Christmas, and that was the most wonderful thing in the world.
Mm. Well, it was. You didn't have that much fresh fruit back then. Mm-mm.
Well, when did you realize as a kid that maybe all these dust storms were going to end? Was it when it rained or after that?
It rained during Dust Bowl.
It had come a flood every once in a while. Yeah. Maybe 4 inches, you know, in a night. And then the next day the dirt would be blowing again because it packed it so hard. Oh, boy. So I don't know. We just gradually got out of it, I think. Mm-hmm. And
Do you remember as a kid hearing your parents or the people in town talk about Franklin Roosevelt or the New Deal?
I was just going to say, my father was very, very conservative, and of course I know that those programs helped our people to survive. But he'd always say, I hope I live long enough to know if they're able to ever not have a program. Because he felt like once you begin something, it would never stop.
Yeah. And he was right.
And he was right. It hasn't stopped.
Worse all time.
And he felt like it might have encouraged people to continue in businesses that were not economically feasible. I mean, if it couldn't support itself, it shouldn't exist. Well, that's not a very compassionate way to look at things. As I've grown older, I've thought about that a lot. That was my parents' viewpoint on it.
How about you guys? Do you remember any political talk in your family?
Not very much. They were very politically oriented, were they?
Well, I can remember my dad admiring Franklin D. Roosevelt to begin with, but by the time he was gone, Daddy had changed his mind. He didn't think that fellow was so hot after all.
Well, it seemed like they didn't reward people who did do without, who did hang in there. And yet, I know that as our population increased, there were some of these people that had to be taken care of. They did have the bread lines.
Yeah, but that was one thing. We never saw a bread line.
In our...
Never saw one in my life.
Because the county took care of itself. The neighbors took care of themselves.
Yeah, the neighbors took care of each other.
But it was small enough that it was that this was able. We were able to do this. And then, too, let's look. Our churches did a lot more of charitable work in that day.
Locally. Yeah, instead of sending it to Africa or something like that. Yes.
Well, we did.
It's true.
Yeah, that's right.
Real true.
And another thing, now the woman who lived next door to us did my mother's ironing. And let's see, in trade for a subscription to the newspaper. And
a lot of things you could trade off. Yeah.
And once in a while, Mother would sew for Helen, not often. But she was too busy supplying Cecilia and me with clothes, I think.
That political thing, I've thought about a lot. And then OETA has had so many programs on that period of time. And I was never in the big city to see.
Yeah. No, we weren't.
How terrible it was in the big city.
Yeah.
We didn't hardly ever get to go to Amarillo.
Well, no.
Not in those days.
No.
No, after the Depression was over, my mother practically lived down there.
Of course, you see, Amarillo is our shopping area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Certainly not Oklahoma City. 120
miles.
Well, 350, say, approximately. So in country communities, I can see that they had a different philosophy.
Oh, yeah.
Very definitely.
So how would you say that living in Cimarron County, living in the Panhandle of Oklahoma, living in Boise City during that time, how do you think that that's affected you now? Something that maybe has changed the way you look at things and you still carry that with you.
Frugal.
Yeah?
Yeah. Who's frugal?
Who saves Cool Whip cartons by the dozen?
What kind of watch do you wear?
And to what? I don't know. I just changed it this morning. What is it? I can't see. I know around the house, even plastic bags, if they aren't dirty, you save them and reuse them. You wash them out. I think we picked that up in our households.
Yeah.
I see my family today. My family never bought anything on time.
Yeah.
We either had the resources to get it or we didn't do it.
That's why it's us. We didn't have the money. We didn't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
me too. I don't know how a bank survived in that with that kind of thought because they made their money loaning money. But really, we lived that way. We were conservative. I think we learned to be strong and self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And
do you guys agree that be the same kind of things you would say that you see in yourself?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I do.
I think so.
And not ashamed of the way we lived.
We all lived the same. We didn't know anybody who was really better off than we were.
No, that's right.
It was equal everywhere. Mm-hmm.
I think it's colored our lives tremendously.
Yeah.
I don't see it in my children, though.
Yeah.
I don't either.
Well, you know.
Well, sure, different times.
But this is our fault.
Well, the other thing being, too, if nobody had anything, what was the desire to have it for?
Yeah.
You have to maintain a certain level with your contemporaries.
But we spoil our kids. Yes, I'm speaking only for myself.
Well, you're right.
I think we all did.
We all did.
Gum they never wanted for anything, and that's a wrong way to raise kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, if you had to pick just one image in your mind, or what would you say would be your most vivid memory of living through the 1930s and the Dust Bowl? If you had to just, what's the first thing you think of when someone says the Dust Bowl?
I think that Black Sunday.
I was just thinking the same, Norma Jean. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That stands out more than
that Black Sunday, and I I think of another thing. I did this quite often. Around the basement windows were little trough things built up so that the when it rained, the water wouldn't come in. And there were some little old beds there that were probably flower beds, but of course you didn't have enough water to have flowers. But there was always a bag of wheat or something, grain of some sort, and I had a great time during the afternoons when the wind was blowing terrible. I'd go out and make little plots and plant that wheat. And gosh, it was great to see it come up. But I'd go out and water it every day.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. And it was protected from the north so that the dirt would kind of blow over me. It was a neat place to play. I had a great time by those windows. I don't know how my parents survived. I think about maybe hardships we've had and how did they compare with that. But I also think about World War II. How did my parents survive having all of their young men sent away? It must have made them stronger.
Yeah, I guess.
And maybe they did worry. But I think our parents felt like one day it'd stop, the dirt would stop, and then we'd pick up the pieces. Didn't we? That's kind of the way dad always acted.
Yeah.
Your dad was a mechanic, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the stories we heard was about a car being sold. So I don't know if you would know about this or not, but they said that these people came to town to buy a car and they traded one cow or two cows for a car. They traded cows for a car. Does that?
I'll be darned.
Never heard that.
Yeah. Oh, we hadn't either, so I thought that's...
Well, just recently we know a lady traded some lots in town for a new car.
That's right.
Some building.
Really? Helen Mackey.
Helen Mackey.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
What?
The bank had wanted to buy those lots forever.
I doubt if your Uncle Homer would have traded a car for a...
No, yeah. I don't think he would have. No.
I don't know what he'd have done with it if he'd...
When they went to buy their cows, they went to the Chevy garage.
And bought their cows from the...
From the Chevy place, because they knew the people had traded in a couple cows for cars.
Clarence Snaps.
Yes.
He was a real nice
And
fella.
He was a trader.
Yeah, he was.
That was just characteristic of his personality.
He was a real
Well, did they have a farm at that time, Clarence?
Yeah, I bet he did.
I think so.
Yeah, I bet he did. They probably went to the farm.
Yeah,
cows.
Mm.
Well, we haven't told you any horror things, have we?
Not really.
We haven't frightened you, have we?
They could live through one too, a bit.
Well, sure.
That's what always strikes me is I see those pictures of that big storm rolling.
Yeah.
I think, how could you not be scared? And I hear, the four of you and lots of other people saying, oh, it was just,
we were used to dirt storms, and it was just another one till it hit.
We
realized it was a bit much.
Yeah.
Bigger than any of the others have been.
Bigger than the others.
Do you remember another, maybe not a series, but a dust storms later happening again?
In the 50s.
50s.
Boy,
yeah.
It was
I remember that. We lived out on a farm in the 50s, and it got bad down there.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't have any black ones, and it didn't blow dirt every day, but they didn't make any crops.
No,
neither.
Mm-hmm. No crops.
But see, we lived
The roads would blow shut.
We lived out on the highway.
Right, going to Stratford.
Going to Stratford. And we'd have dust. But then we had a bad snowstorm one time. There was two buses stuck out there.
57.
And so I'd been to the grocery store the day before the snowstorm hit. And the next morning, I got up. They sent the ladies. They sent a train out and picked up the ladies and took them back to town. And all the men were still in the bus stall. And they came walking up to my house, and they were hungry. And they says, feed us. So I let them come in. I had about 30 people. And one kid from that Thompson boy, he was parked behind him. He got stalled. He says, I'll go out to the chicken house and get some eggs. So he brought the eggs in.
Oh, darn.
And I was cooking them one at a time, and this one guy says, scramble them, woman. It's a lot quicker. He was so hungry.
He wanted it.
Yeah, it was. How long were they out there?
I don't know. It's about a day or 2 days. It was
terrible.
Well,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
you had
a lot of ham.
I bought a ham, so I had plenty to feed them. So.
Is that the storm that came in from the north and covered the houses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And
it was in March.
Yes.
Yeah. March 23rd, 1957.
I thought that a building had been blown up against the north side of our house. Every once in a while, it would be light enough. And this came in with a dirt storm.
So this is that snuster they were talking about on the display.
And it came in with a dirt storm. The dirt blew before that snow came in. And once in a while, it would get light. And I could see this object when... Let's see, that started Friday night, Saturday, and all day Sunday, and Monday morning, the sun came out.
Yeah.
It was a snowdrift that was higher than the very top of our house.
Mm-hmm.
And our car was buried underneath that. And it was the funniest thing. It formed, it blew up and had this great big snow pile, and then a sort of a tunnel was blown around the outside of the house. We could go out our front door and my two kids, the boys, could walk around.
Well, sure.
And there was snow all over the top of them, and they could just walk around. And
well, we got out our south door and got to the car, and no electricity, of course.
No.
So didn't have TV, but radio wouldn't work. So Bob went out to the car, and there was just a dry place around the car. The wind was so strong that it just piled the snow in various places. And it was, 3 feet away from the car. The snow was deeper than the car was. But he'd get in the car and listen to the radio and he'd come back and tell us.
I've got pictures of that. I should have brought it, but it wasn't dust bowl.
Got great pictures.
Oh, yeah. You just walk from the snowdrift right on the roof of that house.
Oh, yeah. Man,
they had to drop food by airplane and helicopter.
Yeah, they thought we were freezing to death. They dropped blankets. Red Cross did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mercy. That's quite a deal.
Well, I'm glad you talked about that because we had seen those pictures over there of a snuster. We're like, what's a snuster?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That was quite
handy. And it was late in the year, March 23rd, for
that
snow
storm, that kind of a snow.
But that snowstorm had so much wind, lots of places would just be bare. No snow at all. It'd blow it, and then when it hit something, then it began to pile up, and you'd have bare spots, and then you'd have one as tall as the house, a snowdrift.
Mrs. McDonald, who lived on West Main Street, in that little house there, an old lady, and she was by herself, and she suddenly realized after a couple of days she was completely covered up. I mean, there was snow everywhere. And she couldn't see out a window or a door or anything, and she got panicky. She was a dear little lady, anyway.
How did she get someone to notice her?
Well, she said she screamed for quite a while.
So,
and then she realized nobody can hear me with the wind blowing so much. So she just settled down and decided somebody'd find her after a while, and sure enough, they did. They dug her out about Monday afternoon, I think. It was just down the way from the newspaper office, so we knew what was going on. But there, right in front of her house, there was a snow plow that the old boy gave up the ghost on that. He couldn't go any further.
And so the snow covered it up.
Right.
People stranded in the courthouse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were everywhere.
But I hadn't realized that you fed the bus people, Marge.
Oh, yes.
I had forgotten that. Good grief.
Good thing you got a whole ham, wasn't it?
Yeah, good thing I had plenty of food.
Well, and then...
And those eggs out in the chicken
I believe
house.
Those guys lied to us, because after they got them all off the bus and got them in the Legion Hall in the basement of the courthouse... But they called some of us around town to go down there and feed those guys, which we did.
Oh, man.
Well, three meals.
They can't do it. Yeah.
I remember one guy wanted some hot chocolate.
Yeah. And you didn't feed him hot chocolate?
I probably didn't have hot chocolate.
We didn't have any
chocolate there in the Legion Hall, for crying out loud, and they sent me down to Coley's a block away and through
and
the snow.
Snow,
yeah,
to get the hot chocolate.
Get some chocolate for him.
Ovaltine.
No, he had to have Hershey's cocoa chocolate.
If they can get anything free, why not take it?
Well, sure, yeah. So he got his hot chocolate.
I was glad to see him leave the bus, take off.
Well, of course you were.
You were.
You were more concerned about feeding your family.
Oh,
well, one of them was out to our house. Roger, remember?
Yeah.
Have we given you enough stuff?
I was going to ask if you had any other questions. I forgot.
All I was thinking about was the acidity question, because I didn't know if you would have any recollection of that at all or not. The hanging, this thing around
I've
your neck.
I've heard of it, but I...
Oh, no.
They just, mm-hmm. That was something else we'd never ran across.
There was one question here. You wondered where our parents, my grandparents, my grandfather came from New York, and he came to Prospect.
Really?
Oh, sure. And the other grandparents came from Ohio.
Huh.
They were both school teachers, and his father died and left him a little money. And he put it in a strong box and took a horse and buggy. And I think the first place they stopped where they spent any time was kind of around Dodge City. He loaned money out of the back end of the buggy from his lockbox. And he spent his life establishing banks over Oklahoma and parts of California. And then he'd sell them. And he had a bank established in Buffalo. And Uncle Home, and they had one of the first cars. What was it called? Anyway, they drove that old car from Buffalo out through here. They were trying to get to La Junta, Colorado, where you could catch a train and go to California. No roads, particularly. So, but there was a railroad track over the Cimarron River, and they drove the car over the railroad track. Then when they came back, they came down back through this area, and Grandfather said, you know, there needs to be a bank here. There's so much area here that nobody is servicing. And so there was an old hotel here, the Marco Hotel.
What year was it, do you remember?
Well, it must have taken them several years to get the petition through, so it must have been about 1912.
After 12. Statehood, anyway.
Yeah. Because their petition had to go through the state.
Mm-hmm.
And spent enough time here. They had to get so many names of people who said that if they had any money, they'd put it in the bank. And they finally, after so many days, they got enough people to say they would do that. So then they went to the state capitol. And that's how that started.
It's the most interesting story of how people got here that I heard.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's how they came.
Well, why did your folks come down here? Because of the farmland? Did they come down?
Yeah, Dad broke out that quarter out east. He'd come down the year before. They knew the Foremans, you know.
Yes,
Ellis,
I knew they were
Foreman.
Then.
And he came down and farmed some with Ellis, and then he bought that quarter and then broke it
and
out.
And that's what brought them.
Oh, and something, she wouldn't tell you this, I'm sure. She and her husband live in an adobe house.
Yeah?
That's stucco.
Yes.
It's a nice, nice house.
Yeah.
But gosh, it's been there for years.
1925.
How about your gas bill? They're supposed to be so warm.
Well, it wasn't too bad.
It wasn't too bad.
That's...
Boy, we've been having high gas.
But one thing you want to do, you never want to let them cool off. You want them
to keep steady, yeah, so you don't turn your heat down at night.
But well, some, but not like
that. Those houses that are built with the adobe, the windows have a ledge about like this. Auntie Constance, well, Uncle Homer's house.
Yeah.
And in recent years, the people that have lived in it went in and put glass shelves and set pretty bottles, you know, or crystal will turn purple. And
Have we talked too long?
Ready hey, there come the experts. Ready for the next
yeah. Oh, yeah. They can tell you the
their,
story.
Their, yeah.
Their daddy built that house.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't
That's
ask
right.
No.
Yeah, he did. You next?
I do.
This is Clarence Snap's wife here.
Yeah, we
the
were
The one where they
Clarence.
Were trading cars.
The nice
for,
guy.
Okay. Yeah. We'll have to ask you about the car story then.
Do I yeah. need to take a bow or?
Yeah.
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 See, have we bored you completely?
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
How neat it is to get together with friends.
Right.